Good to be back with you. This is Lee and Nick with Central Command Report. And man, we were out for the holiday season. We felt bad about leaving you guys behind, but we had to spend some time with our families, and we're glad to be back and supporting the cause in fighting the information war with everybody here. Nick, did you have a good holiday?
It was really good. How was yours, buddy?
Oh man, it was okay. I got to spend some time with some family, and thankfully it was the kind of family that you like, not the kind of family you don't want to go see.
And that's important because, you know, I kind of came to a realization like that could have been the last time that happens for a long time.
Yeah, it could, you know, with the government trying to lock you in your home and tell you that, you know, basically regulate how you breathe, regulate where you can go, shut your business down, tell you that you're not allowed to hug your family or see your family. It's important that you take that extra time with them.
Yeah. And I was reading too, they're now starting to limit your movement in some of these lockdowns in areas. California, you cannot travel more than 120 miles away from your house right now because of COVID.
Wow. And I'll bet they're probably geo-tracking that, right?
Oh yeah, they have to be. Or it's their snitch system that works so well for them. I did kind of have that weird, not feeling, but that weird fear in the back of my head the whole time I'm hanging out with the family of like, fuck, man, what if this is the last time for a long time that we can do this? Because depending on which way this goes, really, at this point, either way it goes, there's going to be some violent retaliation, some violent conflict. If Trump pulls it off, which we'll get into, if Trump pulls it off, there will be a violent retaliation from the Chinese infiltrators. And if Trump doesn't pull it off, there will be some violent retaliation from the right wing. It's going to get fucking crazy this next. Yeah, you thought 2020 was crazy? Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's like, you know, that's right. The last time that we got together and talked, it was pre-election. And as I recall, our last show was basically an election fraud expose, you know, right? We just did a giant, show to basically talking about all the different levels of fraud that were happening. And we predicted that we would overcome it. I'm still hopeful. I'm still optimistic. Doomers get the rope on this show. We don't doom on this show.
Well, no, and fuck you if you're dooming now. I'm sorry. I'm going to interject here because this is pissing me off because I had this discussion at work. We are 12 days from the end. Face it or not, the 20th is the end. If Biden does get sworn in, then you are allowed to doom. You can doom on the 20th, if Biden is actually sworn into office, I will respect the doom, and I'll probably do some dooming myself because this could be pretty fucking rough. But if you have made it this far, and I've posted this on the Donald, and I ruffled some tail feathers, and actually some people got pretty heated. I got pretty heated back. I had some people on my side. I got more upvotes than downvotes, but man, it was close. Where it was like, man, fuck you if you're dooming right now. Like, just fuck you. Like, yeah, you can say like, hey, there's some crazy shit going on. Hey, I'm worried about the president's life. There is some real crazy shit going on. But man, you got 12 motherfucking days. 12 fucking days left. 12 days to get this done. And if you're going to jump off the train now, you never deserve to be on the train in the first place. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and so let's face it. At least I'm not going to do any kind of in detail recap. If anybody wants to see all the details, they're all available in the articles at centralcommandreport.com. They're all we read off the articles on the site that day. So you had an audio representation of how bad it was. It felt like it took 20 years to get through that show, but we did, and we wanted to bring you the truth. And so there it is. It's a time capsule. But to gloss over it, it got worse. It didn't stop, and they pushed it even further. And
Pence betrayed us.
Yeah. And so, that was a post-election show that we did. I said that was pre-election. Sorry. That was a post-election show, but what would you call it? Electoral college, appointment.
When did the election end though? Like, I guess it wasn't even post-election.
In Pennsylvania, it's supposed to end on November 4th, but some states just chose to run it for a couple more weeks.
Well, and with all the litigation and all the other shit going on, I would consider the election is really still ongoing, because you still have the Pence betrayal, right? Here's what's the craziest thing about the Pence betrayal is that you had Pennsylvania, Georgia, I think Wisconsin. I think it was Wisconsin, but you had at least three states. I know Pennsylvania is one. I know Georgia was one. Telling the vice president, hey, Mr. Vice President, our vote was real fucked up, and we might need to like decertify what we sent you. Sorry. No, we're just going to keep going anyway. We're just going to keep moving forward. And you have the state legislator saying, hey, guys, hey, this is kind of bad. We might need to redo this. Sorry, can we redo this? So they're still fighting. They're still trying to do some stuff. I don't know what the legal process is to uncertify a vote where Congress has already met and done their thing. But, hey, you know, we can see.
Yeah, and I guess the only detail to go over was, I mean, and I'm not going to go into it deeply again. The articles are all there. But they didn't even bother to fix. So we all went over the Dominion machines and how they ratted themselves out on live television by deleting votes in real time for everyone to see. Well, they didn't even bother to go in and fix their little, you know, their little software issue that was basically revealing that they were cheating in live time to the American public. They did it again in Georgia, and they were just there was a massive midnight. There was the old classic 1:30 to 4 a.m. dumps. They did it again, and then the voting machines again were subtracting at different times, multiple thousands of votes. I think the largest subtraction on screen that I saw was over 32,000 votes in the Georgia Senate runoff, which should have never been a fucking runoff because, let's face it, it wasn't close enough to trigger their runoff clause the first time. It was cheated the first time.
I am actually admiring you for your ability to watch that runoff. I tuned it all out. I knew it was happening. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stomach it. And what's great is the graph, the chart, the line graph looked exactly the same as it did in Michigan. It was the same thing. It was the exact same.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The classic, what is it? The high fraud jump.
It was absolutely for both races too. Both races at the same time. They couldn't even do one race at one time and one race at the other time. They had to do both at the same time. Like,
yeah, what was it like? Loeffler? I forget what his name. But Loeffler, and Warnock.
Yeah, and Loeffler's. Disgusting.
Oh, and Ossoff. Ossoff was the other Dem, right? Yeah, it was Ossoff and Warnock both jumped at the exact same time in the middle of the night with their like 100,000 vote middle of the night dump.
And the massive, huge dumps. Loeffler was. I'm so fucking happy Loeffler lost. I know she's Republican and the Dems control the Senate, but fuck Loeffler, man. Did you see what she said after the Capitol?
Yeah, I watched
Capitol protest.
Tell the people, Nick.
In good conscience, I can't contest the vote anymore with a prepared speech. A prepared speech of the violent of retaliating against the violent insurrectionists that came to the Capitol. You had a speech prepared for the reason you're not going to protest the electoral certification anymore. How did you prepare a speech that fast if you're running for your life into the congressional tunnels and you're being ushered away with Secret Service and you're wearing, did you see their gas masks and shit they were wearing? You're being ushered away by Secret Service and security detail, but you still had enough time to write a speech within, 6 hours, 8 hours, maybe?
Yeah, and for everybody, I mean, unless you've been living in a fucking hole in the ground, for those of you that don't know, there was a peaceful protest in the Capitol around
that got hijacked by Antifa.
These commie fucking pussies. Basically, all right. So here's what ends up happening. Antifa basically, I equivalent this to like the fire in a theater argument. When you have a bunch of people and the tensions are already high, and you create some sort of what you would call a riotous, you know, an attempt to stoke a crowd into some sort of what would you call it, like display of mob violence. They say free speech is protected unless it's unless it's intended to cause harm. That's what you call the Supreme Court ruling on where the free speech ends. So I can't do that because it hurts other people. And so I equate what Antifa did to, you know, it's almost the same thing. Like, so if they use that opportunity to run up to the crowd, run up out of the crowd and start pushing the cops and then get themselves attacked and then, you know, basically escalate the violence with the police. A lot of people are confused. They're in a fog of war situation. They're frightened. Their adrenaline's high. They aren't seeing all the details. Maybe you work your way right to the front of the crowd and all you see is, like, by the time you get there, you see the police beating all these people in hats and stuff. And you're going, man, you know, I've been seeing these videos the last few days of people protesting lockdowns at governor's mansions and Antifa joining locking arms with state police all over the nation in these tyrannical lockdown states like in Oregon, where Kate Brown lives, and they're literally letting Antifa shoot people, beat people, and then the Antifa return to the line of state policemen and form ranks with them and stand in front of them, and the state police just stand there with their batons in their hands and their shields, while the Antifa keep rushing out and attacking and then falling back in ranks with the frickin' police. And so when you kind of go there knowing that this has been happening all over America, and you see the police over, you know, what you perceive, you're confused, and you see them, it looks like they're overreacting. Well, maybe they weren't. And so would I blame, you know, you don't blame the cattle for killing someone in a stampede if the guy at the back of the herd shot a gun off and made them all run. You blame shot the gun off in the back of the herd and freaked out the cattle and made everybody go nuts because they're confused.
I don't really think there was very many Trump supporters in that group that did anything wrong. I mean, the videos I've seen was people. Let's be specific. I'll come back to Antifa, but what I did see was a lot of people, climbing the walls to get into that second story window, and then people on the ground yelling, "That's Antifa! What the fuck are they doing? Stop them! Stop them!" And people like literally pulling people off the wall and being like, "You're being too violent! You're being too violent! Be Absolutely. Peaceful! Be peaceful! Be peaceful!" They're pulling them away, and these guys are instigating it. And so the reason to come back full circle is I don't necessarily know if those agitators were Antifa. There is a strong part of me that believes that some or many of those agitators were some form of FBI or CIA.
There's been some speculation about that. Absolutely.
Because that's a pretty classic tactic that we did in Yugoslavia. That's well known in historically. And that the CIA has done for years in these socialist third world countries to either flip elections, change elections, or just incite chaos in order to take advantage of the situation. So you really think the CIA is above doing that on our own soil? Like, really? Really?
And frankly, you know, I know this might be a controversial opinion, right? To speak to what the senators were saying. That you were getting at earlier, so after the Capitol got into, there is actually not, you know, there was a woman, you know, and she was killed and she was shot in the neck. She was executed. And it looks like it was by, yeah, say her name, Nick.
Ashley, she was great, man. Was that a congressman who shot her, or was it a police officer? Do we know
I
yet?
I think that there's a speculation that it was Schumer's private security because he was the last one seen exiting the hallway. Yeah. And they said he looked like a Sith Lord, like glaring at them through the windows right after his private security supposedly executed this woman who was a 14-year Air Force veteran, served her country.
Four tours. That's huge. You did four tours. You went outside of the country for a year or more, four times.
She basically went head first through the window. She didn't even have her whole body through the window. The woman had a Trump cape tied around her neck, like a Trump flag tied around her neck like a Superman cape. And she was trying to crawl through the window, and she had just stuck her face in. She didn't stick even her arms through the window. And you see this guy come out from the side. He comes out from the door. Bam, shoots her in the head or in the neck, you know, but it was almost instant death. And it was an execution. There was plenty of ways he could have fired a shot into this roof and scared her back out of the window. He could have waited until she got in and, you know, done a center mass shot that maybe wasn't like a headshot.
There was no threat of bodily injury to anybody in that room. And there is no threat of life to anybody in that room. She was not. I kind of disagree with you. I don't think she was trying to go through the window. I think what she was doing was what a lot of the other patriots were doing, which was, we're going to pound on the doors. Pounding on the doors, it's saying stop the steal and doing their thing is not violent. And I don't think she was trying to get through. And it's hard, right? There's so many angles.
The window, she didn't break the window at all. She did not break the window. Once the window was broken, she was just other people were like crowding up. And I think maybe she, you know, for who knows, she wanted to get in. And she was also probably concerned about getting crushed up against the door because when you have even five people who are 200 pounds pushing up against you from behind, that's effectively 1,200 pounds of force crushing you against a wall. It's dangerous. You could die. And so, you know, getting through the window is not only was a goal oriented at that point, probably, but also a safety measure for her to probably avoid potential injury. You know,
it was the most violent cue or most violent coup in the world, where everybody just walked in between the velvet ropes as they walked through the Capitol building. Because, you know, a violent coup, we walked directly through the velvet ropes and we're peaceful and mellow and everything's cool.
Oh, yeah, you should see.
The congressmen have to break the chairs to have clubs. Did you see them with the clubs?
Yeah. I saw they thought they were going to, you think you're going to do something, you old decrepit. You're all held together with, prescription pills and hemorrhoid cream, you disgusting fucking filth. You know, so these people are basically doing a big dramatic show. And so what ends up happening is the Congress evacuates to get underneath the building. They use all the escape tunnels because they're scum. And that's what rats do, is run and hide in little tunnels. And these, and all while Pence is, presiding over it. And Pence basically, by the way, to back it up just a second, Pence released a statement earlier that day saying that he doesn't have the constitutional authority to reject fraudulent electors. That's a fucking lie. We have even an example in history where, wasn't it Jefferson who actually chose to, he was running for president and he was vice president.
Yeah, and he made himself win.
There were contested votes in Wisconsin. And I think at the time they had 5 electorals in Wisconsin. And he basically said, well, those are fraudulent and I'm going to go ahead and assign them to myself. And that gives Jefferson the win. And so, I mean, if you want to say that there's an argument for some level of maybe that law, maybe the way that they use that can be, isn't necessarily a bunch of authority to allot to one person. Yeah, maybe that's the best example you could come up with. It doesn't matter. Jefferson was a great president and he did good with his powers. But Pence saying that it's impossible to use it for an obviously good reason was a fucking joke. That he gave a new term to that. We've been calling this guy Silver Fox, for years. He's a Silver Fox, all right. But, in the traditional representation of the animal totem fox, which is a sneaky bastard, that gets away with whatever they can and kills whatever they can whenever something's actually weak and trapped, Pence really screwed us over. So they rush the building. These guys try to escape. There's chaos is ensuing and they're making big odds. So then they go under, they have their secret meetings. And then this is what was going to happen anyways. This is why I don't give a fuck if they storm the Capitol. They all come out that was heinous. That is not what America's about. Bullshit. That's not what America's about. That's how we were founded. We were founded through uprising tyranny of basically a one-party tyranny, the monarchy, and we fought back against it and formed a new constitutional democratic republic. Now, these people came out and basically grandstanded that this is heinous, and I was going to back up, I was actually for this examining fraud, but because those dirty, filthy peasants put their hands and they came into our playhouse, you could see their contempt for us. We were in their building, we're dirty, filthy ants and dirty, filthy peasants, and we had the audacity to come in there in their freaking, visual distance even of their highnesses, playhouse. And how dare we even try to get entrance into their playhouse? It's theirs. It belongs to them. It's like, no, fuck you. Those are our seats and you're renting them from us because we let you be there. That's the people's house, and these scum, they came out and acted like we had sullied their democratic process. Well, did you remember the fires from DC when Black Lives Matter and the commies were burning it all summer long? Everything was trashed. Statues were trashed, spray paint on everything, arson everywhere, destroying monuments.
The church across from the White House, the Rose Garden, man. Remember when Trump walked out to the church and it was the biggest fucking deal and everybody was pissed? It's like, man, all the patriots did, like, really? Okay, you could maybe argue that they broke the window. I think that was more like agitators, but let's even say there was there was zero agitators. Zero. There wasn't a single agitator out there. Every single person out there was a Trump supporter. That's false. Well, it's hypothetical. Let's say that's true. All right, so the worst they did was break a window, steal a podium, sit in Nancy Pelosi's chair, and climb up the walls. I watched a lot of live feeds that day. I was watching InfoWars. I was watching, BG on the Scene? I was watching a couple different guys. And that was the most violent I saw was the guy carrying the podium out. And it's like, okay, all right, that's about it. You stole the podium. Like, as far as souvenirs, by the way, that's fucking legendary. I really think, because everything seemed so pre-recorded, when they came back into session, and when they came back, I could barely watch it. I had to turn it off pretty early. I didn't watch the whole thing, to be honest. I just watched some of the first few. And when they came back, all of their statements were prepared. They were reading off of a script. Even Pelosi was reading off of a script. And the script was as if there was so much damage to the Capitol, they could barely even maintain their session in the Capitol. Why was there so few Capitol police out there? Why did the Capitol police open the gates and let everybody come in? Why were the Capitol police at one point ushering people to the Capitol saying, come on, follow me, and sweeping their arms in the follow me, the follow me motion. Everybody knows the motion. Unless it was, I don't think it was staged. I know there's a lot of people that are saying the whole entire thing was staged. Everything about it was staged. I disagree with that, but I do believe at a very, very, very minimum, it was outside agitators were there to smear Trump supporters, smear Trump, and make it appear as if Trump supporters were there to burn down the Capitol. And that's what they want. That's what the media is pushing. That's what the Democrats are pushing. That's what the Rhinos are pushing. That's what the deep state's pushing, is that Trump supporters are there to burn down the Capitol because Trump's a dictator. Orange man bad. Oh my God, orange man bad. And that didn't happen. They went in there and they stole Pelosi's hard drive and did some shit in her office and sat in her chair and was just generally like just being a pain in the ass. But really, even the guy that other than the people that took Pelosi's hard drives, which are great. Other than that, the highest crime that would have happened in that building would have been what, trespassing and maybe a larceny charge?
And they act like they're calling that domestic terrorism unlike anything ever seen. And Schumer actually came out and said that he survived a Pearl Harbor level attack.
No, he didn't. Did he really?
That's what he said. He said, I survived. We will mark this day. He basically, he was referencing a couple of other major events in history. And he said, he followed Pearl Harbor with a speech about how horrible that was and how horrible all these other attacks on America were. And he said, and today we will have to add this to the list of days that America was under attack. I think he skipped 9/11, by the way, because they don't give a fuck about us. You know, and by the way, the other times, here's a couple other instances in 1950. Here's the other times that the Capitol's been attacked. And you have you heard about some of these? The other times the Capitol's been attacked?
Confirmation.
No, well, and listen to this one. It started. Oh. There's some major ones, and they're historic.
Oh, there's big ones. Okay. Big ones.
In 1915, a former German professor at Harvard University, well, he went there and he lit off some dynamite and blew up a whole wing inside the Capitol, and there's photos of it. There's a lot of destruction, man. And he blew up basically an area of the Senate chamber, and nobody was hurt. World War I vets went there, and basically they were promised a bonus, and they were basically after World War I, it was post-Depression, and they weren't getting paid because there wasn't enough money because they crashed the economy in a bunch of big muckety-mucks, you know, basically did the old hyperinflation thing and toying with the early stock market and destroyed the country. Everybody knows about that. And they rushed it, and they basically flooded the whole thing and roughed people up, and there was eventually a peaceful disbursement, but federal troops had to be dispatched, and they basically went there. They were like camped out around the Capitol, and I swear to God, Eisenhower and Patton torched and gassed their camps, killing several and wounding many of the patriots that came home from the war serving their country, and the government was refusing to pay them the bonus that they were promised for serving their country. In the early 70s, the Weather Underground bombed it again. They detonated explosives there. Yep. And then later on, this was earlier. I skipped this one. In 54, a bunch of Puerto Rican separatists stormed it with handguns and shot the shit out of the place, and they shot 5 congressmen while they were in there. And apparently there was even some like heavy, you know, like a large magazine fire. And then the other big bombing was in 83. They bombed the North Wing of the Capitol and blew the shit out of the thing. And it costs like quite a bit of money to repair it, obviously. And so, holy shit, this is the last one I'll go over. In 98, someone went in there and then basically was like threatening to bomb and going crazy. And they shot some chick that was a tourist, killed 2 of the officers there, shot them to death too. And they said the guy was a schizophrenic, and he couldn't stand trial and stuff like that. And the 2 officers ended up getting buried at Arlington. So that's at least 5 examples in history that bombs and rounds fired from citizens, killing people. They were burned soldiers and killed soldiers outside of the Capitol. I mean, this is one of the least violent. This is one of the least violent.
Remember when the crazy guy shot Scalise?
Oh, yeah.
At the baseball game? Yeah. Nobody gave a shit about that. Remember how little people gave a crap? Like, it was like, oh, yeah, it kind of happened. And or, like, they talked about it, right? It was a big deal. It was all over news. And then as soon as it came out, he was a Bernie bro, I think. I could be wrong. I think he was a Bernie guy, but I might be misremembering. But I'm pretty sure that guy was a Bernie guy. And as soon as that came out that he was left-leaning, it was like, oh, well, now we can't. We just don't talk about it now. It's fine. We still talk about it. It's fine. You know, never happened. It's like, yeah, come on. And when they were confirming Kavanaugh, the pussy hat people went and did the same thing that the Patriots were intending to do on the 6th, which was occupy the Capitol building. And they went in there and they sat and they had the little signs in there, whatever, grab him by the pussy and Kavanaugh's a rapist and all this other shit. And they went in there and did their little thing. It's like, man, the pearl clutching of the Uniparty, the fake pearl clutching of the Uniparty, is the most hilarious yet disturbing at the same time thing I've ever seen. That day and that night, and you know, yesterday and now today, and as we keep moving on, is some of the just the weirdest, most propagandized, gaslighting thing I've ever seen in my life. And I never thought we'd be at this point in this country. It's just crazy to me. It's just crazy to me that the propaganda machine is working this hard.
Yeah, and so. I want to get to an update on this too. Breaking news update. I was going to get to this a little bit later, but let's shift to this right now. So, Rush Limbaugh now banned from Twitter.
Rush is gone. Oh, here, let me give you the Twitter stock update. I might shoot this out a couple more times. You ready?
Breaking news.
We are now down 3.7% after hours on Twitter. do you follow stocks much?
No, only, you know, basically through you, because I'm not actively trading. I don't follow it as much. When I have skin in the game, I get really interested. So I'm still following crypto a little bit more, but I know you pulled out of crypto a little more and pulled into stocks a while back. So I've been leaning on you, you know?
So here's what I will tell you. I have never had a after hours movement that large in either the positive or negative direction. That's huge.
Okay.
Almost 4%. So after hours trading,
all the canceling and of all these big, you know, big players in the last year and stuff.
Well, no, because it always happens during hours, right? Because because you know, stock market has the hours as it's open, and all the big moves happen during hours. The big, like, almost 4% after hours is insane, because the shareholders and anybody who owns, I don't own any Twitter stock. I choose not to, because I knew this was coming at some point. I don't want to be on that crash. but even the shareholders know that Trump was the reason that half the Twitter users were there. I mean, or maybe that's generous. 25% of the Twitter users are there are just to mess with Trump or to listen to Trump. That's it. So when Trump's gone, why is anybody going to be there? What's that? There's that, there's that doctor guy, Tiedrich, I think. There's like a Jeff Tiedrich guy. His only claim to fame is he gets on every single Trump tweet and talks shit. I don't know what he's going to do now. I have no idea. What is that guy going to do all day? He just gets on there and talks shit. And then, you know.
They're going to miss him.
But the purge today is insane, man.
No, he'll follow him to Parler and do the same thing.
Man, I really hope he doesn't. I kind of hate that guy. And I like Parler, but
we believe in free speech. So if he's there, you know what? I even though I hate him,
can I call him a degenerate piece of shit every time I see him? I'm going to do that. Is that allowed?
You should create a bot that just does it automatically every time he does anything on any platform.
You're a piece of shit.
He's like, who's this bot that's following me around? That's, calling me a piece of shit all the time.
Stalkerbot 9000. But the purge is crazy, man. What's the list? I mean, we don't have the full list, I'm sure, but a couple of them, right? Sidney Powell's gone. General Flynn's gone. Is Rudy up? Is Rudy Giuliani still around?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd be shocked.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone.
Rudy Giuliani is still on.
Whoa. Oh, so yeah, to get to what we're talking about, for those of you who aren't listening, Trump basically, after all that happened, he went dark for a little bit. He said there was a really strange message, and there's a lot of opinions about whether or not that message was a deep fake or not. You should watch it and look into it for yourself, because people are doing frame by frame analysis and they're doing overlay analysis, and there's some pretty interesting stuff coming out about that. But you know, decide for yourself. And then all this that did sound really out of character. Then his Twitter went dark. Twitter then proceeded to, he basically came back up and did a message of trying, and that also seemed like a really strange message. Again, this is another one that there's a lot of speculation that this was another deep fake message. We've been waiting for this for a long time. They've been talking about it, doing it for a long time. And we hadn't heard from Trump or where he was at. There was speculation he went to Abilene, Texas at a kind of a big Department of Defense holdout area. I wish I could remember the name of the particular base he was at, but we don't really know if he was there. It was just Air Force Two, I believe, was evacuated to that area.
No, that was I cannot remember the name of the aircraft. It wasn't Air Force Two. Air Force Two is the VP's, whatever plane the VP is on. Air Force One is whatever plane the president was on. So this plane, though, if it had the president at the time, its call sign was Air Force One. The model of plane and stuff is essentially like a military command and control aircraft that does a lot of the like communication relays. A lot of the, allegedly some of these planes have like access to things like the strategic reserves and strategic nuclear arsenal. And they know where all this shit is. And it's just a command, an airborne command and control plane. So that one of the theories was yes, why would this plane be moving from DC to Texas and then staying for a day or so? And then I think today it moved to Nebraska and it landed somewhere. I kind of stopped following it after a while, to be honest with you. But who knows? There was a lot of theories that the president was on that plane. I haven't seen anything that 100% confirms it, but you know, I want to believe.
And so in that time where you know, we speculate whether or not he was underground in the White House, basically in this five layers down in the command center of the White House, or whether he was actually in Abilene meeting with some generals and talking about his next move, there were some really suspect tweets that came out. And then this is important to mention too, during that mass rush into the Capitol building, they made it into Nancy Pelosi's office. She had evacuated so quickly, her laptop was not encrypted and locked like it should have been. She should have slammed that freaking screen down and shut that bad boy, but they got access to Nancy Pelosi's laptop. I don't know how much that ties into the Democrats freaking out.
I think that's 100% of the tie. But there's why would you try to impeach a guy that's going to be gone in 12 days?
Yeah,
they think, you know.
All these things happened really fast, you guys. This came out in real time. It was happening so quickly. And basically, I mean, this is obviously, you can't do all these things. They don't just happen on accident this way. These things are pre-planned. This is part of a massive plan. And it's obvious that there have been a lot of meetings and a lot of kind of like nods and handshakes and probably inferences, probably not a lot of admittance, because people don't like to say things when there's a potential that they could be recorded in today's world. So I think a lot of things are kind of, you know, like, softly, you know, discussed in a roundabout way, but I think everybody knows what each other means. And so basically, all of a sudden, everybody's calling for Trump's impeachment. Apparently, Pence isn't going on with that, you know, and that he's not with it. But there's speculation that Pence told Trump that he had to make some sort of a soft concession attempt, or he was going to go along with the 25th Amendment. Again, highly speculative. These are from sources that are supposedly close to, higher command positions that are telling people that's what's going on. Guys that are, you know, we're getting some information through General Flynn. Former General Flynn, Michael Flynn, and he's a really credible source. And when he says that there's intel that, you know, that's coming out, we need to at least pay attention to that. Sidney Powell's telling Trump, hey, you got to enact the executive order right now. So all these things are kind of culminating into a shitstorm. And then all of a sudden the Dems start screaming. It's 12 days, like Nick said, supposedly their inauguration. Why would you does it sound like someone super confident about their win wants to impeach someone 12 days from them getting thrown out the door anyways, and try to shut down? And this is the big one, guys. This is breaking today. This is breaking today on Friday the 8th, that they are purging all conservatives from every platform on the internet. I mean, we're talking even people that you've never even heard of, low tier conservatives.
It's just like the retweeters again.
Yes.
Like the guys who are just sitting there just to throw shit out are gone. All of them are just gone. Yeah.
They're so they canceled
Team Trump, by the way, just got Team Trump just got ban hammered, by the way.
Yeah, you know that's coming. So, and it's literally, they're coming for everyone, like the major, you know, the people like Candace Owens and stuff. It's a massive, gigantic Twitter purge, and it's a Facebook purge, and it's an Instagram. I mean, and here's the thing too, that if you think that's where it stops, it's not stopping there. Next, they're going for the payment processors. They're going for the web hosters because each of these people who are popular have their own websites as well. Those are going to get shut down. They're going to have to find conservative friendly web hosters if there are any left to stand up. And this is like, and they're coming for even, you think you're a black female and you're safe? Not, you're conservative. You're fucking verboten. You shall not be, you know, allowed to have a voice in this new, what would you call it? Technocratic, communistic, you know, takeover. And so it's really crazy. The Parler app has been delisted from Apple Store and Google Play Store. They're coming for Streamable. You know, they're coming for Rumble. You know, they're coming for BitChute. That's next. They're coming for everything. And so basically they're trying to consolidate us all into, you know, a handful of other websites that don't have as robust of a cloud base or a server system. And so that they can take down those sites and basically just keep us, pay China to just DDoS us all day, every day until it's unusable, until it's unfucking usable, you know,
man. So this is interesting. As I was pulling up a bunch of random conservative Twitter accounts to see if I can find any more bans and just kind of poking around. But I pulled up Kylie McEnany's personal. She retweeted two of Pence's tweets 9 hours ago. His stuff about the officer Sicknick, the officer, the Capitol Police officer who died at the Capitol protest. And I just find that very odd. And I'm wondering if Kylie McEnany is also a turncoat, which would be shocking to me. She always seemed pretty loyal. Yeah, but why would you retweet Pence?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's like basically Pence is the biggest piece of shit in history. A couple days before,
unless that was all part of the plan. I mean, who fucking knows at this point, man? Shit is so crazy, I can't keep up.
I don't know. There's a group of people that want you to believe that certain things are part of a plan. I just, you know, I don't think that the trust the plan thing is necessarily.
It's not healthy.
You know, yeah, it's not necessarily healthy toward keeping people. And because like, let's face it, that's almost who doesn't want to think, I've elected the right person and I can go to sleep at the wheel now. That's what we all try to do. We try to elect these people and once every 2 or every 4 years, whatever, right? Every time we have an election cycle, whether it's a state level or whether it's a federal level, and everybody basically gets all in a fucking fuss about everything. And then they go to sleep at the wheel as soon as they cast their vote. And then these people proceed to just completely sell you the fuck out, you know, and destroy your country and chip away at your liberties. We've just never seen such an accelerated, and by the way, post-Capitol protest, what's happening now too is all these people have a free reign, and they're talking about rounding us up into slave forced labor camps. They're talking about killing us all. They're talking about, I mean, and it's not like, oh, let them all go to Texas and secede if they want. It's like, if they secede, we kill them and we nuke them. The left, now that they have control, they want to basically, you know what they do in China, right? You know who's making your iPhones in fucking China? Apple actually works with state-sponsored Chinese firms that run forced labor camps of Christians and Muslims and political dissidents. And so it's you think your fucking iPhone's just getting made by some generally poor Chinese people? No, it's not. It's getting made by forced labor, political prisoners and religious prisoners in their country. And a lot of the time, a lot of products are being made that way. And so these people live in like some sort of dystopian fucking communistic hellhole. Then they're talking about wanting to do that to us. You know, yeah, the only way you'll get to stay out in the middle of America is if you're on a forced labor camp farming their food for them in their bastion of culture and, you know, wokeness cities. These idiots can continue to pretend that they live some sort of semblance of a normal lifestyle while they make 50% of us or more slaves for them. That's their fantasy. They're really, and they're openly calling for literally murdering us and killing us. And there ain't a single, you know, this is there ain't a single ban for anybody doing anything like that.
Well, what these idiots don't realize, the would you say city something? You had a good word, and I missed it.
Cidiots.
Thank you. Cidiots, I love that. But these cidiots, what the cidiots don't realize. One more time. What these cidiots don't realize is that when communism strikes, and now you have to share your home and share your belongings because everything belongs to everybody. When communism strikes, the cidiots aren't going to be the ones that are in charge of all this shit. I hope they realize that. The people coming to your door are going to be Brother Cletus and Brother Jamal, and they're going to kick your ass and say, no, comrade, you're going to host all these other people in your house now because, well, there's no rural areas anymore. There's only cities, and you have an apartment and you have extra bedrooms. So you're going to host all of these other white trash or all of these other whatever. The people that you hate, the trailer park people, are going to be hosted in your house because, well, we all got to share the houses now. And these idiots don't realize that it's not going to be them at the top of this totem pole when communism strikes. When communism strikes, it's the poor and the infirm that go to the top of the totem pole because they're the ones that have nothing to lose and they get violent before communism fully takes over. These people are fucked. We're fucked. We're all fucked if communism comes to America. So we'll see. Man, Sidiots, I love that. Did you come up with that? Was that an original?
Now, you know what? I heard that somewhere. You know, that's I picked that one. I mean, yeah, I'd love to say I created a new awesome word that was that good. I mean, yeah, you're gonna be running. I can tell you're gonna be using that when it works.
Oh yeah, no, but because it's Saturday. But no, I will. I'm probably just gonna get it tattooed on my forehead so everybody knows how I feel about it.
Wow. Yeah.
And can we talk? I'm going to make a segue here because it just came up on my scroll as I'm checking through some of the Donald News stuff. Now the entire world knows that we don't have control of our nuclear arsenal because of Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Get into that a little bit.
So what kind of happened at some point today is Pelosi went to the DOD and said, like, well, we need to make sure that Trump doesn't use the military to retaliate and take over. And Trump can't do this. Trump can't do that. And the nuclear codes. And, oh, my God, the nuclear codes, all this shit. And so what she's effectively done is told the entire world that there's questions about the nuclear codes and there's questions about the president using the nuclear codes. So we and the DOD, according to her, has said, no, we'll stop the president from using the nuclear codes. Oh, you're going to stop the president from using the nuclear codes. And now China knows that, Russia knows that, North Korea knows that, everybody knows that. That's real great. Real great, Nancy Pelosi, real great. So the case, my point being to bring this up, though, is because now it has become a national security concern. This combined with banning the president's Twitter accounts, combined with banning every representative of the president from social media at this point, is now a national security crisis, now a national security concern. The justification for Trump doing something crazy like the Insurrection Act is now really starting to build at this point, which, I mean, for guys like you and I, it was there in like November 4th. It was like, man, just do it. Like, clearly the election's been stolen. It's time to Insurrection Act. Let's get this going. But now that case is building more and more every hour that goes by because now, according to the rest of the world, America's nuclear arsenal is crippled for the time being, which is terrifying.
Yeah. It actually gives Trump the excuse to declare an emergency because she is essentially that would be her, you know,
if he has evidence of Chinese collusion of Nancy Pelosi, which let's be real, there's evidence of Chinese collusion with Nancy Pelosi. It exists. It's somewhere. Now she has become a national security threat herself and a communist spy who has disabled the American nuclear arsenal in favor of China. That's it. It doesn't get more complicated than that. You now have a Chinese spy that has disabled the nuclear arsenal.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting too. You know, there's one thing we talked about of reasons for them to push forward with this as quickly as they can and to try to stop him from basically dethrone him before he can declare Executive Order 13848, the Insurrection Act for foreign interference in elections, which also has built in, measures for dealing with treason, like bringing back firing squads if he declares that.
Yeah. Right?
So
hasn't he already got firing? Did he get firing squads reinitialized? I know he was trying.
Yeah, I mean, he may have, but I know that EO has stipulations in it that unlock the use of them or something. And so what we've had happening and brewing in the last Trump got his DNI report. Guess what day he fucking got it? The day after the 6th. It was due on December 18th. So for those of you that have been tracking, in Trump's executive order in 2018, executive order 13848 that does exactly what I just said it does, allows for the a report to be issued no later than December 18th, pre-election, that would tell people that we've had foreign interference and that would tell the president, sorry, that we have foreign interference and would allow him to enact the executive order, declare the Insurrection Act, and sort the issue out using, you know, whatever federal assets in place necessary to use to correct the issue. And what that would have looked like is military assets and, like, let's say all the three-letter agencies, you know, impounding Dominion voting machines, doing audits and proving what we all already know is true and saying, we have to throw out these electors. We'll take this information to Congress. We're going to make some decisions with this information, but now we're not going to make any decisions until we're fully informed. That's all the Executive Order Act does. It doesn't give them the ability to declare martial law and be king forever. It just says, no, we're stopping until we get the right information. Then Congress will decide what to do once we've proven our case and we have the right information. So more and more information was coming out about that. And there was speculation from behind the scenes why the DNI report was late. It was handed to him. And in the DNI report itself, it said, well, we didn't think that this should be released until the day after the electoral counts were voted because we didn't want it to be used as a political weapon. And it's like, well, you mean you didn't want to reveal fraud until after the electoral votes were cast because it would have been used to disprove fucking fraud?
Well, here's I'm going to argue against you a little bit here. I actually think that was a great decision because now they are all complicit in treason.
Oh, well,
every single representative or senator that did not vote to decertify those electors of those states that were in question, who, if we have evidence that shows that those electors knew enough about the fraud at the time of that vote, they are now guilty of treason.
Which is obvious because at least the legislatures in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Arizona
They didn't even try.
Well, no. At the end, three that all filed orders before the couple days before they all filed their fine. They were basically like, okay, fine, let's finally do some fucking hearings. We'll see. And then they were all blown away, and they all sent paperwork to basically filed paperwork within their states to reverse and decertify Biden electors. So it finally happened like it's supposed to at a state level. They had their fraud hearings. They said, holy crap, this is the worst thing we've ever seen. This is wrong. So yeah, Wisconsin, Arizona, and out of the seven states that were actually in question, those three at least filed the actual paperwork necessary and to decertify Biden. Well, since then, also, more information has come out, more information came out in that DNI report. By the way, they said specifically certain analysts were slow walking their reports and withholding information of China's interference and Iran's interference and Italy's interference and Germany's interference, and they were slow walking. So each people that were, let's say, you know, your job is to monitor all four countries. If you're a data analyst, you might specialize in a region. So let's say the data analysts particular to China were slow walking the China information, right? And so in the report, it actually says, we had political activists within the organization that were also, you know, not only did we not want to see it used as a political tool, we also had people slow walking this information, refusing to give it to us. They gave us wrong information, and then they had to go back and basically, I don't know what kind of reprimand these people get for lying. I mean, it's probably, I mean, seriously, you should throw these people in some sort of military prison for the rest of their fucking lives. They're scum, but they shouldn't be allowed to keep their little cushy government jobs. But they basically, they were screwing with Trump and trying not to let the report come out. Since then, we've had more in Italy. They're actually going after this. There's a bunch of reports out of Italy where now we have affidavits from people that were working in a building. And this building was the, what was the name of that? What was the name of that building that they were all working in?
I can't remember. I know what building you're talking about, but there was at least what was like four dozen affidavits. I mean, there was a ton.
Yeah, there was a ton.
Rudy had a stack. Like, it was a big stack. It's so stupid. And we don't need to get caught up in voter fraud, but we're so stupid about this thing. You know how this all could have been avoided, really? Like really, how all this shit could have been avoided is if you just allowed an audit. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all the campaign was asking for. And really, like, I really do think that if
and to circle back around it to just to catch this we lose this, man, from the where we started in the beginning, I think them all their huffing and puffing and how dare the peasants come in our capital, we may have authorized an audit, but we couldn't possibly now. So you mean because some people broke into the lobby, you're going to ignore a giant fraudulent election? How do those two even connect? How does that even connect? Guess what? They weren't going to fucking do it anyways. So you should have, you should have just fucking gone all the way. There's no reason. You should have just been nice in there, people. And that whole idea that, that you know, oh, if we would have just stayed outside and minded our own business and not done anything, they would have allowed us our sham fucking little, you know, 10-day, you know, investigation period, where at what point they would have screwed us over and voted against us fucking anyways. These people are scum. Nobody was going to hear or listen or change anything. We had all the fucking turncoats came out, and all the commies were all marching lockstep in full force. Because let's face it, that's one thing the commies do better than us. All the Democrat communists, they fucking all stick together on everything all the time. You know what we do? We got a bunch of turncoats. We got a bunch of R's that are D's, and they are, you know, like Romneys and shit that are basically, they hate their base. They hate us. These people think we're such fucking scum. They really don't like us. You should see some of the internal emails that they have between each other when they're discussing us. They basically, they talk about, oh, you know, these bunch of idiots, let them stomp their feet. We'll throw them a bone or something. We'll give them a couple high profile deportations or whatever. They're talking about the Pence campaign. Paul Ryan campaign managers talking about, you know, they got some private emails that came out between them this week that were surfaced that were talking about their disdain for the fucking Trump and their disdain for the Trump voters and how they thought they could backdoor Trump and then make a Pence Ryan ticket actually work out because they wanted to keep the fucking Rhino show going. And, it wasn't working and they were panicking. The campaign staffers and managers were panicking in emails back and forth to each other. They were trying to strategize against us little idiots, us useful idiots. And about how they could, you know, basically push Trump aside and control us. And they even actually talked about using the option to assassinate Trump in the emails. Yeah. It's in the fucking emails.
You want some more? You want some breaking?
Not
just email related, but also campaign related. Trump campaign no longer allowed to send out emails after mail service suspends access.
What? He can't even send emails like MailChimp?
Like the Trump campaign, whatever service it is they use. It might be MailChimp. No, it's it doesn't say. But yeah, they can no longer send out campaign emails. They are blocking him at every turn. Here's what I don't understand. They're going to block every communication channel he has, right? So he has no choice to use the emergency alert system. Isn't that like the worst possible outcome for them, is him using the emergency alert system?
Yeah, I think, and also breaking, I think Ben, will you check and see if Ben Garrison's on Twitter still?
Oh, he's gone. I've already seen that. Yeah, he's gone. He posted his last comic was a bunch of the rhinos like standing in line with knives, and the sign was basically like, get in line to stab Trump in the back. It was fucking great. First in line was Pence, followed by Barr. You saw them all. Mitch McConnell was in there. There was a whole bunch of them. It was great. Ben Garrison is a national treasure. That guy is awesome.
Wow.
His one of the Illuminati pyramid with the megaphone, left, right, tyranny, tyranny, that is on my cubicle at work. I love that comic.
Yeah, man. And so, you know, it's funny, but there was a really odd coincidence, and I don't know if we mentioned this too, with the Trump disappearance period. And that time after the 6th when he disappeared, where he didn't tweet anything and all that stuff was going on with the tweets. By the way, every single person associated with, I mean, everyone anywhere near him. And typically he uses Ivanka and Donald Trump Jr. almost as publicists to clarify things to people that they maybe they because they have arms out there and they're listening to they're listening to the MAGA movement people. And a lot of times if they see some consternation or some questions not getting answered, they'll speak on behalf of their dad almost as publicists so that because he's busy.
They'll mirror the message if there's something big going on.
Absolutely. And they went dark for 24 hours. I mean, it was like they posted nothing. Nobody posted anything. And I mean, not just these two. There were a bunch of people associated secondarily and even tertiarily with Trump that went 100% dark. And then all their accounts at the exact same time posted this really weird video that a lot of people think isn't real. And you could look at it for yourself and check it and check out some of the research on it for yourself and look at the way it was uploaded. It was the first video.
If you can find the video anymore.
Well, yeah, I think the Twitter created studios one, actually, now they're going to wipe that too. You're right. So this, the one thing that also was odd about this video is every video that Trump had ever uploaded in the history of Twitter was uploaded using, a video for iPhone or whatever, or iPhone for Twitter or something like that. I forget what it was. Like iPhone for Twitter, I think was the tag, because they were all mobile uploaded. Yeah. This is the first time in the history of his account that he used.
Not true. Careful.
What?
He did on the 23rd of December. I went back.
I tried to research that and I couldn't go back and, well, they probably wiped it.
Yeah, no, there was one there. I saw
it. Did somebody have a screenshot left over of it or something?
Yeah, I saw it on the Donald and I went back myself and verified myself. I did see it myself. It was the 23rd of December. It was his, like, one of his Christmas thing he was doing. That was also posted from there.
Okay,
the fact remains though, that video, I mean, I think you and I both agree. I will never tell anybody what to think, but I am 1000% convinced that video was 1000% a deepfake. I'm not, you will not change my mind on this. Nobody will ever. That was a deepfake. Whether it was done by the deep state or by Trump is a whole nother question. And that has a whole other implications. But now that I'm seeing it, at first I was thinking it was from the deep state and they were trying to do some weird, like 25th Amendment impeachment and just let him fall into oblivion or something, or they JFK'd him and they're going to let him fall into oblivion and post all these fake tweets. I don't know. But then that we saw Trump tweeting today and doing his banhammer stuff today, while that's not necessarily proof of him still alive, that is definitely, I feel more strongly that that video was a deep fake made by Trump because he was not at the White House, but he wanted a video to make it look like he was at the White House. That's my theory and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, you know, and there is going to be a transition and everyone's, you know, we're going to keep having to shift quickly and to go to other places to try to stay afloat. It's going to be really interesting to see where and it looks like for now it's going to be Parler. So if you're listening, if anybody's fucking listening, get to Parler, and because that's the only safe place for a conservative to operate right now, and the Donald.win.
And get to Parler and follow at Central Command Report while you're over there.
Oh yeah, yeah, we come have on, something man. Over there, don't we?
I don't post as much there as I should. I'm going to start. I'm making it my mission to try posting there more. But yes, at Central Command Report.
Yeah, well, you know, the Central Command Report, there's community-based sites like the Donald and Parler, and then there's breaking news sites, and basically the real estate, we've always told you this, the real estate for conservatives online was, we re-estimated 2% of the market share before. Well, it just dropped to 0.2% of the market share. They're fucking wiping us out fast. So we're going to stay in there and we're going to be part of the fight. We got a breaking news website and some of the other popular guys, you know, they're going after them. They're being DDoS so heavy. And at least I feel like right now, I know we don't get a lot of traffic. We get a little bit of traffic, but we don't get a lot of traffic, but at least we're kind of a best kept secret, us and a couple of the other smaller guys. Thankfully, if we diversify and everybody is cruising around, just like you and I do, I don't go and get all my news from one source. I'm just saying our site's one source out there and it's great to use. I don't say just only use our site. That would be stupid, but go use us and to supplement some of the other smaller guys that aren't, you know, being overwhelmed yet with new users flooding them because there's no real info out there, and the DDoSing, it was all too much at once. So don't just keep going to one site and overwhelming that site. That's kind of part of the problem. Keep looking around, diversify your searches. The internet's a giant place. There's goddamn billions of websites out there. Get out and fucking stop going to four or five of them. You know,
I know. And it's get out there. And so you want me to get into that point a little bit deeper? Cause I actually had a really good discussion about this.
Yeah. I'd like to hear you.
So the old internet, if you recall some of the older, how the old internet was, like, I'm talking maybe pre-MySpace, actually, maybe around the time of MySpace, was more decentralized.
Like E-Bombs World and all stuff.
When you had shit like E-Bombs World, when you had stuff like, and what you would have is you would have like little micro forums. Yeah, you'd have micro forums or like AOL chat rooms or MSN chat rooms, all these things. And you'd have like these little tiny communities of like, you know, 100 to 10,000 people, very small micro communities, but they're all decentralized on their own little websites. And they all kind of did their own thing. And yeah, you'd be a part of multiple and you might see like the same guy on two different sites and stuff. And you make that connection because they have the same username or whatever, but it was very decentralized. And then, you know, kind of around like you know, 2000 and 2008 or so, you know, everybody kind of started conglomerating a little bit. And then between that, like 2008 to 2016, if you look during like the Obama term, not that he has anything to do with this necessarily, but everybody started conglomerating even more, and it got even more conglomerated. Where at that point, really, it was like what, like a little bit of MySpace was left sort of at the end of, or the beginning of the Obama years. Facebook, obviously, Twitter, obviously, YouTube, which at the time, YouTube, which was not owned by Google. I don't remember what year Google bought them, but there was a time where YouTube was not owned by Google. And you had these, you still had like at least like three dozen different social media sites.
Your account just got deleted.
But, yeah, it's gone. It's gone. I am 1984.
They created the internet. Damn it.
Damn it, son. But my point being is at one point we had an internet that was more decentralized, that was more open, it was more free. And then as soon as we all got centralized onto these like your average internet consumer, your average American internet consumer, for lack of a better, I'm sure there's a term for it, but whatever, uses what? A Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. Sorry, I don't use a lot of these, so I'm trying to think of what they are.
I mean, you're talking like your average internet user interfaces with the app. They don't even actually interface with a browser.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But they go to five on average, probably, and at most 10 different ecosystems, if you want to include the app and the web browser and everything into that system, and that's it. And even then, like fucking Instagram and Facebook are two of the biggest ones. They're owned by the same company. They're both owned by Facebook. So they're the same thing. And you go onto Google and YouTube. Well, YouTube's owned by Google. And doesn't like Twitter owns some other one I can't think of off the top of my head, but Twitter owns something else as well. But it's you're correct in the fact that part of the problem is and why our site and other sites like it, really, and sites like the Donald, actually not just specifically sites like the Donald, but communities like the Donald, where now that, you know, they have like the Great Awakening, they have Weekend Gunnit, they have all these other communities built up. But those communities like the Donald are so important, because if we want it's not going to be just about removing, which I disagree with, or restructuring, which I do agree with, Section 230. That's not going to be the only thing that we have to do. We have to, as a conservative movement, work on decentralization of the internet, which is, I don't even know if that's possible, but that's what it's going to take. Because even if we restructure Section 230 or even get rid of it, the social media companies, the major companies, will either still exist and they'll do the exact same shit just differently, or they won't necessarily exist, but some other form of them will, because they will figure out a way around whatever reforms we put on 230. The only way to really fix this problem is to, and I don't even know if this is possible. I don't know how to do it. I have no good ideas other than people like us stepping up and doing our own thing. We have to work on decentralization of the internet. That's the only way to move forward right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, one way to deconsolidate control would be to do.
That's a better term. That's a good term. Yeah, I like that.
Blockchain. Blockchain.
Yeah.
That's a really, there's nobody who has a product that's prime time for that yet. It's not there. This isn't, you know, an episode of Silicon Valley on HBO. You know, it's not
and it's not even like shit. The blockchain stuff isn't even necessarily there to do. Like, I know you and I have talked about it, not on the show, but in other formats the voting system blockchain stuff as just like a theory of a great way to do your elections, do your voting for accountability. Shit, the blockchain's not even there enough for that, really. Like, it's not even quite there yet. A blockchain internet would be great. The problem is, as you said, the technology just isn't there yet. I try to branch out myself. I try to find other sites, check out other things, look at other opinions, but shit, man, the only places that have any decent content on it right now are the Donald or something like Citizen Free Press. Like, that's it. There's nowhere else to go anymore. Everybody's been, because it's not.
Remember, well, those are bigger guys that are getting hit right now too.
Yeah. And remember it, like, shit, man, the left went from within a year, they went from, well, Twitter can ban whoever they want and do whatever they want, cause they're a free company. You should just make your own Twitter. And so somebody, I think the guy's name is John, said, well, okay, I'm going to make Parler. This is great. I'm going to do Parler. And then Apple removes them from the Play Store. Google removes them from the Play Store. So are you going to defend? I'm really interested to see how the left will defend it. They probably just won't talk about it. Exactly. It's like they're just what they can't defend that. So they're just their strategy when they can't defend is, oh, we just won't talk about it. Okay. Yeah. I know your game. You're a piece of shit. I know your fucking game. They're going to say, we just make your own app store. But then the other thing that you and I talked about pre-show was how long is their service host going to last? Parler, to my understanding, and this I haven't verified this with any means. I've just seen some reporting and stuff on it. Parler uses AWS, which is Amazon, for their hosting. And don't tell me that AWS won't pull the plug on them. That Bezos is a fucking commie like the rest of them. So it's like, so are you going to make your own hosting service? Okay, well, great. You made your own hosting service, Lee. Like you spent millions and millions and millions of dollars. You built this giant server farms. You put all this server hardware in. You built your own new software and your own new technology to host these virtual machines that host all these websites and do all this shit. But hey, guess what, man? Google delisted your domain name service entry, so we can't actually get to your website with parlor.com anymore because Google just delisted you off the internet because that's how DNS works, is Google and other companies control it. You have to actually type in the IP address if you want to get to Parler now, because it doesn't have a DNS entry because Google said, we're just going to get rid of you. So sorry, conservatives, you're just going to have to make your own internet. And the point that I bring up is if this continues much farther, you're going to have one of two things. You're either going to have a totally communist, socialist, police state and a uniparty state, or we're going to have a bifurcation of society where you literally have two parallel economies, two parallel internets, two parallel social medias, two parallel everything, because this just isn't sustainable. You have payment processors banning conservatives from their platforms. I think it was MasterCard and Visa both did it, and PayPal did it to a couple. You have hosting companies banning people off of their platforms. What was that? Conservative Treehouse had that happen to them. You have app stores banning apps off of their platforms. You just had that happen to Parler hours ago, literally today. And it just keeps continuing, At what point do we just say enough is enough? And as conservatives, start building our own internet and our own society and our own DNS and our own server farms and our own shit, because this just is not working. These people got power. These social media companies, these tech companies, these tech oligarchs got power on the basis of, hey, we're going to have a free and open platform. This is what Facebook was all about in the beginning. We're going to have a free and open platform. It's going to be great. Anybody can talk on it. You can air your stuff. You can share stuff. You can talk to people. You can connect with people. It's all great. They got the public trust. They got pundits, guys like Dan Bongino, guys like Rush Limbaugh, guys like Sean Hannity. I don't like Sean Hannity. I should have mentioned. But you know, they got people that brought not only them, but they brought their brand, they brought their viewers, they brought their users, they brought all these people to that platform. And then Facebook and Twitter et al. All made money off those people based on ads. And yet, now we're just going to ban those people because we got what they wanted from them. We got the user base. We got what we needed. And now, well, they just don't fit the narrative and not convenient for us anymore. So you're banned. And I just don't understand how this is possible.
Well, and if you think this is the acceleration of what's been happening digitally is actually, is happening this rapidly tomorrow, you know, you're right. Parler's going to be the Donald to be gone. Citizen will be gone, you know, and even the little guys, they'll have one as soon as they seek us out, we're going to be gone, you know? And so
I will host our website from my own house.
Yeah,
do it. But then here's the thing too. Then my ISP could take us out.
We'll have to host it through a VPN.
Well, that's not quite how that works. But like,
tell the people it works, Nick. Give them hope.
That VPN wouldn't solve that problem. But
you know what? Hey, I'm going to build my own VPN.
I don't think you understand what a VPN is, and that's okay.
It's like a boat, and you just you float out, and you migrate to another country on it. You know.
Well, that's. All right, man. I that's not what that is. But the point being, and I think you understand this point, and you make it well too, is that this is unsustainable. Like we're literally going to a one party state if something doesn't change now.
This is controlled. For anybody that doesn't know already, this is exactly what they already did in Venezuela. So in Venezuela, when Chavez used Dominion voting machines to get elected, the first thing he did was they had a constitution in that country. They had gun rights.
he took the guns because he stacked it with 30 AOCs, and the AOCs all said, you gotta give up your guns, right? So now all of a sudden, the Supreme Court, your fake freaking super lib, and if you think this isn't coming based on what you're seeing today with a giant conserve, basically they are telling us we are all dissidents, they are coming for us, and they're going fucking door to door, dude. They're coming for you, and it isn't going to be like you and your little fucking gun aren't going to do anything, because if you're one guy with a gun, that just gets you killed. Maybe if you had a giant group of people and y'all did, but that never works out that way. They know how to isolate you. You know, they run these cops out of these parts of the city in the UK where they're doing these nasty lockdowns and stuff. They do a flash mob and they run off the cops, and then the cops come back. They let it lay low, and the flash mob's not going to be there in a week. And then they go door to door and they start fucking bagging these people up and taking them off, you know, because they, we're suspicious, you probably contacted COVID from that crowd that was, you know, dancing in the street here a couple weeks ago. We don't know who they were, but we know they had a super deadly virus, and now you're probably infected, and you're either going to, you know, come with us and come to the camp and take a test to get better. We got a wellness facility for you. And hop on the train.
Would you like me to quote a great and respectful man?
Yeah.
Hitler took the guns, Stalin took the guns, Mao took the guns, Fidel Castro took the guns, Hugo Chavez took the guns, and I'm here to tell you 7076 will convince again if you try to take our firearms. It always starts with the ballot box, and then it moves to the cartridge box. We are currently at them attempting to steal this election, and if they successfully steal this election, the very next thing, if Biden actually gets sworn in, there will be gun confiscation within 6 months of his presidency. I guarantee it. And it'll be for what? Domestic terrorism? Which would at this point be supporting Trump.
Wow. You know, and yet it's like, and even like, right now Mozilla says they're calling for, they said this week saw the culmination of a 4-year disinformation campaign orchestrated by the president. We have to acknowledge how the internet is misused to get here, and we have to change it. We need more than deplatforming. And they go on and on and on in their article.
So what you're saying is you
don't even have a fucking search engine, bro.
No, that's not a search engine. That's your browser, bro.
Yeah, browser.
That's even worse. So, by the way, I'm just going to endorse this for anybody listening and checking stuff out. If you want the best open non-socialist web browser I found is Brave Browser. It's based on the Chromium, which is Google Chrome's kernel, meaning that it's going to feel a lot like Chrome, but it is not Chrome. It feels a lot like Chrome. It functions a lot like Chrome. It has extensions and everything's like Chrome, but it's a lot more privacy oriented as far as like trackers and scripts and ads and all those things. Ad blocks built into it, tracker blocks built into it, crypto wallets.
They're actually working on using a decentralized system of browsing.
Yes, that's on there. Like, they haven't done anything super, super crazy with it yet, but that is like their goal is to have a decentralized mesh network, sort of. It's similar to a Tor network thing, but not quite. It's more of a mesh network type of thing for web browsing, which would alleviate a lot of the earlier problems I mentioned with the hosting and the DNS issues that we run into as conservatives.
And for those of you that used to think that, don't go with old cut go, because they used to be all right, but they've actually came out against conservatives and they've started doing some background censoring.
Do you have another alternative? I've just been sticking with them for now.
No, with a DuckDuckGo.
Yeah.
No, I actually, Brave is still a slightly better alternative than DuckDuckGo right now. DuckDuckGo has started to alter their the filter and started to filter their results a little bit differently. Some people were taking screenshots of like the way that results were filtered a couple months ago, and for different types of search.
DuckDuckGo browser or the search engine?
The DuckDuckGo browser.
Oh, and I've never used their browser. Interesting.
Yeah. And so, and like the search engine, the autofill, the autofill. Yeah.
Autofill is like always a telltale.
Yeah. And that was one of the biggest ones. People are doing exposés on DuckDuckGo's autofill now, and they're showing that it is not functioning the way it used to. It is a little bit worse than it was. So we have to keep an eye on them. I'm not saying, they're the worst at it or they've, but I did call them cut go, but because of that. And so because when I sniff that someone's headed that direction, it's not long. And right now, this is it. They're going to go. And for those of you that think like, this is also an attack. And here's what they've done. They've taken a lot of of like rights, and they've lumped them in with one group of people, protections, right? So they've lumped a group of protections in America, and they've kind of made the last holdout for a lot of those protections with the Christians. And so and so one of them is freedom of speech. There's a lot of limitations on freedom of speech, actually. They want to make you think that there's not, but there actually is. And religious freedom of speech is still kind of a trump card that a lot of people have been able to play when somebody tries to, you know, bust them down or break up their organization or sue them for speech. And that's a safe haven. And there's a reason for that. They've also, like, vaccination, mandatory vaccines, religious exemption. You know, they've wanted to do that for a long time. And I think that part of the reason, Nick, that they've allowed a bunch of other constitutional rights to be kind of to have the last wall in between, those are actually your rights. You don't need religion to protect those rights. Those rights were imbued to you from God, and they should be fucking be able to use
whether or not you practice religion or not.
Yeah, religion or not. Yeah, and the reason that they've done that is because now that they've grouped all those rights under one banner, they just need to topple Christianity, and they topple the rest of those rights. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's part of their deal is to eventually they will say that, oh, well, your religious rights don't protect you from this because, you know, if you don't have the vaccine, you're hurting others, and now you're infringing on their rights to health. And it's like, well,
and even your fucking, you know, your pedophile pope told you it was okay, you know, so go out and, you know, I'm not saying I have anything against Catholics. I really don't. But I don't like that pope. I really don't like that pope. And I know a lot of Catholics that disagree strongly. Some of the archbishops that have come out against the lockdowns and the tyranny and the hypocrisy in the church, we have had some radical archbishops come out recently, and they are awesome. These people are not one world globalists. These people are rugged individualists who promote true freedom in the sense of spiritual freedom and, religious freedom and personal freedoms, body autonomy and constitutional rights and the rights of the nation state. Economic sovereignty, political sovereignty. You know, these guys are awesome, but the Pope is not, you know, so they need to get rid of that fucking Pope, man. He's no good for the Catholic religion. But, you know, so the point is, a lot of these people, though, are still protecting our rights. And trust me, if you think they're fucking not going to go ahead and stack that Supreme Court and strip away the guns and strip away the religious protections, and, you know, that's what's happening. That's what happened in Venezuela. And you know what that looks like next? People who have loved their pets their whole life were cooking their pets for food. That's how fucked up that is. That dog that looks you in the eye and loves you with all of its heart. Can you imagine your cat or the thing that, you know, give him so much joy and it gives you so much joy? Can you imagine even having that stolen from you and eaten, or you having to cook your own animal for food, or your best friend? Because that's what happened there. People are crying as they're eating their own animal. People are a wheelbarrow of cash will buy you a fucking bottle of water. People are scavenging dumpsters for whatever's left over, even rotten, to see if they can stomach it to get something down. And it is absolute hell. It is chaos on earth. And these people want this. Because here's the thing. This level of acceleration tells me that they want this. They want this collapse, because you know what happens when a country has some sort of a full economic collapse or a civil war level event or an insurrection level event like we're having right now. Another country comes in and steps in and takes power.
I wonder what country that would be. I wonder. I'm going to have to really think about that for a second.
If you had to choose between Russia or China, I think I'd fucking choose Russia.
No, I'd take Russia in a heartbeat. I'll defend the Russia thing, honestly. Like honestly, and here's what I honestly believe, and I this is an unpopular opinion, and not a lot of people agree with me on this, but I'm gonna voice it anyway. If war does kick off, let's say China invades, not necessarily China invading the United States, but just a war in general, like a World War III, where the two primary aggressors are the United States and China. And it's like, all right, pick a side, motherfuckers, let's do this. I actually believe that Russia would join the United States in that fight. Because, say what you will about Russia, they are super nationalist. They are extremely nationalist. Yes,
they are.
They're very, you know, communist, socialist, however you kind of want to describe their system of governance. It's not classical traditional socialism in the sense, I should break that out one episode. That'd be a fun episode to talk about their governance system. But it's not a communist socialist system as you might think about it. It's more of like a selective representative democracy almost. Like you're basically, you get the you kind of get to vote, but you don't really, sort of thing. China's a full-on fucking oligarchy, man. Like, it's the government is corporations, the corporations is the government, and they're all the same thing, and they have taken over your entire lives. The Russians have a strong national identity, and that national identity, in the same way that China has infiltrated our government, China has infiltrated the Russian government, not as far of an extent, but they have still been attempting to, they've still been trying, and they have been successful in some of their avenues, but not nearly as far as they have in the United States. And part of the reason I think that is too, is because in Russia, you don't get to hold like any type of position of authority or political office unless you're a Russian citizen. And I believe I don't know, it's necessarily like born in Russia. There's some, I don't remember all these rules, but I do know there are rules and regulations that certain levels of authority and certain levels of political office can only be held by those who are qualified as Russian citizens.
I mean, everyone's allowed to have nationalistic pride except us, right? Like Israel. Oh,
except the whites. Except the whites.
If you ask someone, do you support the state of Israel? Oh, well, of course I do. You know, why wouldn't I? It's like, so you support a theocratic ethno state that doesn't allow you to own land unless you're actually, up until a couple years ago, a woman on an airplane had to get up and move from her seat if a man told her to. That was up until about 3 years ago, actually. So it's okay for them to have a theocratic ethno state, but we can't. I'm not saying I even want that. I want a constitutional democratic republic, which we have, but you have to fight to keep it. I want to end this. We're getting close, you guys. We're trying to do a reasonable times here. And so I want to touch on this because this is important, Nick. What can Trump do to succeed right now?
Well, Insurrection Act. That's the answer. The answer is Insurrection Act or the executive order or a combination of both. That's it. Like at this point, or I'll give it. All right. There's one other option. I honestly don't know how this would work. All right. The Georgia legislature.
By the way, when I say Trump succeed, just so everybody out there, if anybody listens to this, that motherfucker won by 100 million. That was 410 to 128 electoral votes. It was like nothing we've ever seen in history. Trump won. I'm just saying succeed in fighting the deep state from the communistic takeover and the turn up that's happening right now.
Yeah. Trump, let's say victory is in Trump remaining in office. Trump being re-inaugurated on January 20th or later. That could happen, but Trump being re-inaugurated. So obviously Insurrection Act, big one. Get the military involved, hang the traitors, do what you need to do. Executive order from the election interference. Again, the only reason the deep state's freaking out is because they started freaking out the day they got the DNI election interference report. That's all on the site. That's all there. You can see all that information. That's when they started freaking out. The only other option, and this would be a long shot, and I don't even think he's really attempting this angle. I just think it's kind of out there still existing. The Georgia legislature is meeting next week. The Pennsylvania legislature is meeting next week. And I believe the Arizona legislature is meeting next week. And I haven't really checked Michigan, Wisconsin. But my point being is, what would happen if those legislatures actually voted to decertify their votes? Like, can they do that? I don't actually know how any of that stuff works. And those are some pretty big constitutional questions. Cause I think we should keep in mind that, that we're in uncharted waters here, man. Like, this is a stolen election that, even the vice president of the United States stabbed the president in the back and stabbed the entire country in the back. So we're in uncharted waters. So I don't know, but technically there is still litigation going on, and technically there still are lawsuits going on, and technically there's still lawsuits even at the Supreme Court for, I believe, Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. So it's there's some crazy shit going on, but really the primary way that Trump achieves victory, in my opinion, is some form of the Insurrection Act, some form of the using the emergency alert system to speak directly to the American people without the filter. Because let's face it, that's why he used the Twitter account so much, is that was the only way he could talk to us without a filter until they deleted him. Or some form of that executive order that allows him to, as you and I have read it a couple times, essentially seize all assets with anybody involved in foreign election interference, with which, based on what we're seeing, would be quite a lot of people and quite a lot of assets.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah. You know, I think everything you're saying seems right to me, and that there's a high possibility that something's cooking in the background. There's some people that say they're close to him right now that are saying that he is not, in fact, in Texas, and that he's in the White House, and that he has a lot of people against him, and that he's demoralized from being stabbed in the back. That all kind of sounds like soap opera-y bullshit to me. The stuff that I've seen come out that we thought seemed fake, like they weren't real tweets, the stuff that just got fucking, that just came out right before you got shut down today, that was actually Donald. Because very specific way of communicating, and it's always, it's recognizable. It's very, even the way he uses caps, the way that he uses grammatical structure, phrasing, the type of words he uses, he has a very particular way of tweeting. And I think those, the what was happening on his account was, I don't know. There was some really weird stuff going on, because right now, from what he's released through Team Trump right before they got kicked out either, and the one he released, that was classic Trump. That was the real deal. And I don't think any kind of – tell me this. Like, I think if he declares the EO and he enacts the Insurrection Act, I don't think he's impeachable. I don't think the 25th Amendment.
Well, no, basically what in my at that point. I can expand on that on what I think will happen. Like, kind of a theory.
Yeah, that's
that I would see
into the legal weeds there, you know.
We're not just legal weeds, but like the like just the uncharted waters, man. Like, what could happen? In my opinion, what could happen and what I think will happen if he does pull the Insurrection Act card, which I really think he's got enough evidence to do it and enough justification to do it, and impose some form of temporary military martial law, which, as you know, I'm not a guy that's in favor of martial law, but at this point we need to save the country. What could in theory happen? Remember, Trump tweeted yesterday, or Trump's account tweeted yesterday, whether that was Trump or not, is to those asking, no, I will not be attending the inauguration on January 20th. Did not say the Biden inauguration, did not say anything related to the Biden inauguration, but I could see one of a couple things happening here. Declares the Insurrection Act, you know, military, that becomes, right, military enforces the law, with martial law, the definition of martial law is the military enforcing the law, which means the military courts, UCMJ, military judicial system, treason, death penalty, all that shit opens up. Declares the Insurrection Act, while we're going through the military courts, the military tribunals, and all of these other things, as we're watching the traitors hang from the gallows, it's, well, shit, guys, we're not going to really, we can't trust this election, because just because there was fraud, and I'm going to play the Trump optics card here, just because there was fraud doesn't necessarily mean Trump won the election, so let's rehold the election. If we rehold the election, we're not going to see an inauguration on January 20th, which would be just an interesting cryptic message from the president if that's kind of the route he was going. You could see the election being reran in either all states or some states. I would love to see it run in all states. Just voter ID, do it the right way, everything we've talked about before. Or you could really – there's an interesting like kind of thought process I had is if Trump declares the Insurrection Act and calls for a new election – what happens if he just doesn't run in that new election and it's somebody else running instead?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And then nobody could argue it was him doing it for himself. Mm-hmm. If he put up a Patriot and if he sponsored a Patriot to say, this is the guy, maybe that's Flynn or maybe it's still going to be Trump. But a really interesting turn of events that I am not ruling out, just kind of as a crazy, crazy conspiracy theory, hope, whatever you want to call it, is that you could have their election reran with completely different candidates because the election is tarnished. The election is gone. You cannot come back from this. It's over. It's gone. Unless you have some decertification and some crazy things happen in state legislatures. But there is the possibility of us seeing the election reran in certain or all states, and that election may or may not have Donald Trump on that ticket. I would love to see Donald Trump with Flynn as the VP. That's my hope. That's my dream team.
But there's so many fronts that are being hit right now. It's like, you know, right now in America, we're witnessing the most massive and coordinated trust violations from corrupt communist funded monopolists that the country has ever seen. And there's really no turning back.
No, we don't come, but you don't come back from this. The genie is out of the bottle and you cannot put it back in. You either fix the shit now, or we're very, very, if Trump doesn't flip this around, we are very, very, very rapidly heading towards a civil war or a second American revolution. And it's not going to be a pretty one.
I think, and you know, Scott Adams had something that came out a little bit ago, and it was, you know, he's great sometimes. And he said, this is the year the fake news became so powerful. They could tell you there was definitely no election fraud because you aren't allowed to check. And it worked. And, you know, Scott is really a gift for eloquence, and it went in his wording and phrasing, and he's so right. You know, it's really interesting. Yeah, but you know, we'll try and keep you guys updated. We're going to keep the site up and going. Go to centralcommandreport.com. We'll, you know, I know I did a couple massive article dumps and during the holidays, and we were slacking off a bit, but I'm going to be a little bit more on it now. And we'll be out there. We'll stay in the fight. We'll stay active, stay nimble. You know, if everybody, you know, watch out for the last bastions of conservative sites to go down over the next couple days. If they do go down, then, you know, we'll reach out to you wherever we can and let you know that our site's still active and let you know what sites are still active so that you can get the updated information on where to pivot and where to go to get real information and not be drowned out by fake news media and big tech, because they're coming for us now. We have really, this is it, you know? And so, Nick, I don't know. I mean,
by the time we speak next, everything will have changed.
Yeah, everything will have changed. That's so true, isn't it? And you know, we'll be back in a week. This is, you know, a weekly show for now. And you know, maybe if something major happens, we might hop on and do like an emergency broadcast. I think that would be warranted. Nick, would you hop on and do something that?
If it gets crazy, and it might get crazy.
It might be worth trying to get some info out there. But yeah, basically, you know, buckle up. We're not done. And I don't think Donald's done either. I think there's a lot that's still coming out. And I think a lot of it's a soap opera show. And I think a lot of it's still disinformation and, you know, and to keep you confused. So be ready for anything.
All righty. I'm Nick, and this is Lee, and we are Central Command Report. Have a great night, everybody.